Good morning, and welcome to another in our series of mini shiurim on the Book of Ezra. We're learning in the merit of the IDF, Israel's emergency services, the hostages, and the injured. And of course, right now we have this situation with Iran and the new developments from last night in mind as well. So today, God willing, we will finish chapter 5 and start on chapter 6 probably. Remember what's going on. The Jews have started to build the second Beis HaMikdash, the second year of King Darius, unclear if it's Darius the first or Darius the second. Tatanai, the Pecha, some form of governor of the region for the Persian Empire, comes visiting and says, "Where's your permit? Who allowed you to do this?" And he sends off a letter back to headquarters explaining what exactly it is that he's seeing. And he now includes the part that we're up to, the Jewish response to him. He's gonna tell the headquarters, and therefore us, what the Jews said when he came knocking at the door. It's a very interesting response that the Jews give him. So we're in Perek Hey, Pasuk Yud Aleph, chapter 5, sentence 11. Uchnema pisgama hasivuna lememar. So here's the answer that that they gave us when when I asked them what in the world they thought they were doing. We are the servants of the God of heaven and earth, right? Remember the in the beginning of the book when Koresh first addressed them and we talked about the identification of God there as God of the heavens, God of the earth. So we are the servants of Hashem, God of the heavens and earth. Ubanayin Besa dihava b'nei mikadmas dina, the Shnin Sagian. We are building up the house that was built long ago, years ago. Umelech li Yisrael Rav b'noi v'shach lalei. A great king of Israel built it and made it great. So they don't mention Shlomo by name. I'm not sure why. I'm not sure if it's because they feel like the Persians won't know. I don't know why they don't actually name Shlomo. Nonetheless, a great king of Israel built it up, and Lahain, but Mindi Hargizu of Ahasana Leilaka Shemaya, because our ancestors angered the God of the heavens. Note, he's now God of the heavens and not God of the heavens and earth. Don't know what to do with that. Just noting that. I go back to chapter 1, sentence 2, and that was where Cyrus only recognized God of Shamayim, God of the heavens, saying, "God gave me the land." So maybe that figures into this somehow. In any case, Yahav Himo Biad Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel Kazdaya. Because our ancestors sinned, God gave them into the hands of Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonian, or king of Bavel of the Chaldeans. There's a lot to be said about Bavel versus Kazdim, but not for right now. Ubaisa Dina Sasre, he destroyed this house. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the house. Va'ama Haglila Bavel. And he exiled the nation to Babylon. Biram, however, Bishnas Chada L'Choresh Malka Di Bavel, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Bavel, Koresh Malka Sum Te'em Beis Elaka Dana Libne. Cyrus, the king, gave the order for this house of God to be rebuilt. Pause there for a second. There are a couple of things I have to make sure we notice. Number one, what they said in sentence 11, where they said, you know, we were here from before and we built up this house from before, we have a historical claim. That's the point that they're trying to make. We have a reason to be there, and the house was destroyed because of our sins. However, we then went into exile, and therefore, Malbim notes, they're saying our sins have been atoned. From God's perspective, it's time for us to come back. In addition, Cyrus sent us back in the first year that he had control of this vast empire. Notice that they call him Cyrus the King of Bavel, even though he is, of course, Cyrus the Persian. So why do they call him Cyrus the King of Bavel? So the simple read is because he conquered Bavel. In fact, in the Cyrus cylinder that we talked about, where he sent a message to the Babylonians calling himself a representative of their gods and so on, he called himself King of Bavel. So that makes sense. And he said, they said in their letter, first year, this is the first year of Cyrus, king of Bavel. It's the first year that he was king of Bavel. Also worth noting that in chapter 6, sentence 22, we're going to talk about Darius the Assyrian. Why? Because he is now the king of the Assyrians, who the Persians conquered as well. Actually, I think the Babylonians conquered. But maybe the Persians also had wars in that region. That could be. This also is associated with something we see in Yeshaya chapter 39, where they talk about a Babylonian king, but it's actually the Assyrian. It may not refer to to a Babylonian. More to be said. But the simple read is, Cyrus conquered the Babylonians and became known as the king of Babylon as well. In addition, though, we're about to mention Cyrus giving us the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash that have been stored in the palace in Babel. So we're saying, hey, Cyrus is now controller of what Babylon had. So that could be. It could be because his reign over Babel was what gave him control of the Jews. And it was in his first year as king of Babel that he freed us. So, yeah, that's, I guess, kind of redundant with what I said before. But the other possibility is that he had a capital city in Babel, which we're going to see in chapter 6, sentence 1. They had more than one capital, and it depended on the season, and it moved. So he had a capital city in Babel, so maybe he's the king in Babel, as opposed to king of Babel. Could be, I suppose. However you slice it, Cyrus allowed us to go back, and Cyrus was the one who said we should build up this house. And further, now we go back into the text. I am just getting to it. Where was that? Yes. The sentence 14, after saying that Cyrus gave the order for this house to be built, Va'af manaya di beis elaka di dava v'chaspa, and also the vessels of the house of God, of gold and silver, di Nebuchadnezzar han peik min hechla di birushleim, which Nebuchadnezzar took out from the temple in Jerusalem, ve'hevel himo lehechla di bavel, and he brought them to the palace or the temple of his idols in Babylon, han peik himo karesh malka min hechla di bavel. Cyrus the king took it from this place in Babel where it was, v'hivu l'shesh batzar shemei di pecha samei, and he gave it to Shesh Batzar, who was the pecha, who he made the pecha. So look, he gave us the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash back. Here are those vessels again. I made such a big deal about the vessels in the first chapter, and how Yirmiyahu predicted that they were going to go, and they were taken into exile, and they were used by Belshazzar at his feast, and how we have the Midrashim about Achashverosh, and I talked about how their return is seen already in the time of Yirmiyahu as heralding our national return, and Cyrus gave them back to us, and lo and behold, here we are again, writing a letter back to the Persians to justify our presence and saying, and he gave us the vessels. Clearly, those vessels were extremely important to us. And the Malbim adds, they gave us a pedigree in the sense that, why do we have these vessels? The Babylonians had them, and then the Persians got them. Why do we have them? Because we're legitimate, because the king gave them to us. Also, he gave them to Shesh Batzar, who was the Pecha as designated by the king. So we're entirely legitimate. We wouldn't have done this. The Pecha, the officer of the king, isn't going to do this without the king's instructions. We are legit. Continuing in the text. Cyrus said to Shesh Batzar. Cyrus said to Shesh Batzar. I'm just looking to see. I just lost my place. The El Manaya say, take these vessels, Ezel Aches Himo Behechla Di Birushleim, bring these up to the sanctuary in Jerusalem, Ubeis Elaka Yisbenei Al Asrei, and the house of God will be built up on its place. So that was the order from Cyrus, Edayin, and at that point, Shesh Batzar Deich Asa Yahav Ushaya Di Beis Elaka Di Birushleim. At that point, this Shesh Batzar came and he set up the walls of the house of God in Yerushalayim, Umin Edayin Ve'ad Ka'an Mizbinei V'lashalim. And it's been built up from then until now, and it's not done yet. So that is what we are doing. It's been a long process, this construction process, and we are in the works, and it was licensed by Cyrus, and please stop giving us any trouble. That's the end of the Jewish response. Notice that they describe Shesh Batzar here as the one to establish the walls of the Beis HaMikdash, But remember that back in chapter 3, sentence 8, Zerubbabel was listed as the leader alongside Yehoshua Kohen Gadol. This supports the idea that Shesh Batzar and Zerubbabel are the same person. We talked about that in our introduction to chapter 2. Ibn Ezra said that, or Rabbi Moshe Kimchi, depending on who the author is of Ibn Ezra's commentary to Ezra, but on chapter 1, sentence 8, on chapter 2, sentence 22, also in Daniel, Mitzudas David says it. So maybe they're mentioning him as Shish Batzar, because that's an official name by which he is known. I don't know. However you slice it, that's their response to Tatanai. And Tatanai, in the last sentence, in chapter 5, turns to his superiors and says, I don't know what to do. Sentence 17, Uch'an, and now, he says, Hein al malka tavyis bakar bebeis kinzayadi malka tamadi babavel. Says, if it would be good with the king, could he please check back in the record houses, the stores, of the king in Bavel? Hein isai dim in karesh malka sim te'em lemivne beis elaka doch deich birushalem. Is this, in fact, the instruction of Cyrus the king, that this house of God in Jerusalem should be built up? And please, you know, send us what you want to do. Tell us what you want, and we will carry it out. We are your loyal servants, and so on. So that brings us to the end of chapter 5. Probably a neat stopping point for us to pause here for Shabbos. In chapter 6, the Persian archives will yield their evidence. One thing that's going to be interesting is that it's not going to say anything about the negative decree found in chapter 4 in response to the Samaritans. Remember, the Samaritans had protested the Jews' construction and had sent a letter saying to Persian authorities that when the Jews build up the city, they're going to stop paying taxes. And we know that does lead, or it seems to lead, to a halt in the construction process. The Persians, when they go looking through the records, are not going to find anything about that. There's going to be no report about that, which will support the view that what was recorded in chapter 4 about the Samaritans' success was actually something that happened much later in our history. It hadn't happened yet. It could also be, though, because the response to the Samaritans was really not a decree against building. It was just a statement that further investigation was required. That was unclear back in chapter 4, so maybe that's why they're going to say nothing about it. But what they will say is, lo and behold, you are correct. The Jews are correct. Cyrus licensed them to go build the Beis HaMikdash, and so this will be resolved in chapter 6. Have a restful Shabbos.